praise you. And Lord, today as we gather together here as your church, your body, Lord, your children, Lord, we ask that your word would just search us, that it would comfort us, that it would correct us, Lord. It would speak those things to us, Lord, that human words couldn't possibly do. Lord, that you would meet us where we're at. That you would answer those questions in our minds or in our hearts. Things maybe we've been praying about, Lord, that you would meet us here and give us an answer, and it would be so clear. So, Lord, I just ask that you would move mightily today through the power of your Spirit, Lord. We just commit this time to you. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It's good to see you all. If you have your Bibles, open up with me to Luke chapter 1, verse 26. We're making our way through the gospel according to Luke, the beloved physician and historian. There's Bibles on back and on both sides. If you don't have a Bible, raise your hand if you want one, and someone will get one to you. Will you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? Luke chapter 1, verse 26, God's Word says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God.' You may be seated." I just love those words. You have found favor with God. And before we even get into our text, I just want to say, you and I have found favor with God. In Jesus Christ, you know, it's unique love and grace. And it's such a good reminder that we're a chosen people, that God has chosen us, has rescued us, he loves us, and that we have a dad, a father that cares for us. Amen? Am I the only one excited about this? So as we continue our study, just by way of reminder, in our last study, we read about a very special couple, if you recall with me, Zacharias and Elizabeth, right? And the interesting thing is that they were from a priestly lineage, from the Levites, right? They were Levitical lineage. Therefore, whatever child they would have, they would come from that lineage. And in fact, Elizabeth was from the lineage of Aaron, which would mean that the child could technically be the high priest. And we read that they had served the Lord for many years, that they were advanced in age. And as they served the Lord, they served him faithfully. And even though that their prayer had not been answered, their desire to have a child, they continue serving God. And I love the description that the Bible gives of them, that they were blameless before the Lord, that they were, that they walked in all his precepts and his commandments. And what a description, what a testimony that the Bible has about this couple. Isn't it amazing? And it's so awesome to see a couple that both are walking with the Lord, that both are fully surrendered to the Lord, and how the Lord uses that couple, that marriage, in ministry and in life. It's an incredible thing. It's such a blessing. So we saw that although they were serving the Lord, they were not exempt from hardships, right? They had prayed for a son for many years, and they never received a son. They never received a child. But God had heard their prayer. And it says, the Bible says that when the time came for Zacharias to serve in the temple, his lot was chosen to burn incense before the Lord. And he went in, and as he was burning incense before the Lord, and the people were praying, which is very important, and the incense, as they went up, it was reflected the prayers of the saints, that the angel stood before him, and we found out that it was Gabriel who appeared before him and said, "Listen, your prayer has been heard." And he could have said, "What prayer? I mean, it's how many prayers have not gone up? Which one?" "The one that you most desired." And he says, your wife will bear a son. And to this, Zechariah said, "No way. How could this be? It's not possible. Gabriel, don't you know that we're beyond childbearing years? I mean, we're old. It just is an impossibility." So what was happening is Zacharias, even though that he loved the Lord and he believed the Lord and he served the Lord, he didn't believe him in this. This was an impossibility. He thought there's no way this could happen. And he did not believe the word of God. So Gabriel said, he was a little upset, wasn't he? He says, "I stand before the Lord." He says, "How could you not believe him? Because you would not believe you're going to be mute until his word comes to pass." Isn't that something? When I read that, I thought, listen, if the man of God, a priest, he was a priest, somebody representing God, is in unbelief. If they don't believe the Lord, they have no business speaking. They should not be speaking for the Lord. Nevertheless, Zacharias was mute, and he finished serving, and as he went home, what happened? Elizabeth was with child. Amazing. God's word is coming to pass. And that's sort of where we left off in our last study. And where we pick up now is in verse 26. And if you would you take a look at that with me as we look at it carefully? "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary." Now, Gabriel was busy. Listen, after he went and delivered that message to Zacharias, God says, "Now you need to go to Mary." And where are you going? You're going to Nazareth, to Galilee. I wonder if Gabriel said, "Where is that place? Nobody knows where that place is." No, he didn't say that, right? But I ask you, have you ever read of Nazareth in the Old Testament? No, you never have. Galilee. Listen, this was not a place that was known. In fact, Nazareth had a stigma to it. It was a town that was outside of Galilee. It was part of Galilee, but it was about 6 miles out, and there was no roads even near it. And that it had a bad reputation. In fact, you may remember in John 1 when Philip tells Nathanael, "Hey, Nathanael, we found the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth." Remember what he said, what his reaction was? "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" That was a reaction. This place that only had fishermen, farmers, and Gentiles, a place that was not known for its outstanding citizens. God was visiting this place. He was visiting this young woman. And listen, this is a fulfillment of prophecy. As we go through this portion of Scripture, we could really spend a lot of time on the Old Testament going through prophecy and prophecy and prophecy being fulfilled as the Lord is going to come into the world. But just in regards to a certain section in Isaiah, he prophesied. He prophesied that God would shine his light in Galilee. In fact, in Isaiah 9, verses 1 through 2, he says, "By the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, in Galilee of the Gentiles." Notice that this would be absurd to the Jewish believer, to the Jewish man. How could God go to the Gentiles? He says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." Isn't it incredible how God often does his greatest work in the darkest places? He often does that in the darkest cities, in the darkest places. And look, with the darkest person. When a person is deep in a place that they're lost and they're in despair without any hope, the Lord does that incredible work in the heart of that individual and saves them. He shines his light, the gospel light, into their lives. But also notice that Gabriel is sent to Mary, a virgin who is engaged to be married to Joseph. And it says that he's a descendant of David. And later we'll find out that Mary is also a descendant of David. And why is that important? Well, we'll go over it in chapter 3. It's very important. God is fulfilling so many things here, impossibilities. There were certain issues at the time, but why he couldn't come, the Messiah couldn't come from the lineage of David. There was a curse with Jeconiah and so forth. But what is a problem for men? It's not a problem for God. There's nothing hard for God. He had it all figured out. Now, we don't know how old Mary was at this time. The Bible doesn't tell us. But the general consensus is that she was a teenager. And it wasn't uncommon. In fact, it was a common thing for teenagers to be married during those years, 15, 16, 17, 18, and so forth. Even a little younger at times. So the common consensus is that she was a teenager. And God visits a teenager in a town that is despised and is unknown. Oftentimes we say, you know, God can't use me. Well, I'm too old. I'm too broken. No, I'm not educated. I'm too young. Listen, God delights in using you. There is no excuses. God would visit you. God will call you. And God can use you. And he'll use you in a way that he can only, that you will reach people that the person next to you won't be able to reach. He will use your personality, your characteristics, how he's created you to reach the individuals that others may not be able to. It's amazing. There's no excuse. See, it's not in our power. It's in the power of God and his Holy Spirit. He is the one that moves. In our strength, we can't do it. And I'm reminded of who? Jeremiah. Remember Jeremiah? He says, Lord, I'm just but a youth. And he says, don't say I'm a youth. He says, I've called you. I've called you to raise up nations and tear them down and so forth. Remember he called David as a teenager as well? Man, David just responded. Joseph, he was a kid as well. And now here, Mary. He visits Mary and it says that Mary had found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Take a look at the next verse. Verse 28. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. Listen, you're in a bad place, Mary, and you may not be rejoicing. But rejoice, highly favored one. That word favored is translated to grace in Ephesians. The only other place that it's found. But I love the way he greeted her. Highly favored one. Do you know that that applies to you and to me? That totally applies to us. We are highly favored in the eyes of the Lord. Not because, hey, we're so great, we did this, is all by my strength and my ingenuity. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the fact that when he sees you and he sees me, he sees his son. He sees Jesus in us. And it's amazing. So he says, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. And he's here with us tonight. The Lord Jesus is here with us this morning. I said tonight, this morning. Don't worry, on Wednesdays, I say this morning. So I equally butcher it. Blessed are you among women. Look at the way that Gabriel refers to her. Among the women, you're blessed among the women. But one thing he doesn't say is, you're blessed above the women. He doesn't say that. You see, because we know, right, that there's some out there that teach that, listen, she is to be worshipped, that she's a co-redeemer, that she should be elevated, she's elevated to the status of co-redeemer with Jesus, and that's not at all it. That is not what the Bible teaches. She is a sinner just like us, but she is favored by the Lord. God chose her. Later on, she will say that she rejoices in the Lord her Redeemer. Why? Because she needed a redeemer just like you and I. But she had found favor in the eyes of the Lord. She was favored among the women. Notice that Mary is chosen among this time, among this region, among this location in a dark place. She is chosen and she's just a young girl. Verse 29. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and consider what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Man, we go over and over each verse, and it just, I don't know about you, but it resounds in my heart because I personalize this. This is for me. I have found favor with God. And listen, if you don't understand that, if you don't know that, you need to own that. Because so often as Christians, we walk in defeat. We think, oh, God doesn't want to do anything with me. I failed today again. I did this again. Or it is that stumbling, that circular pattern in our minds. The enemy attacks your mind. If that was the case, that that our righteousness depended on our works, listen, no one would be saved. Jesus has saved us. And we have found favor in his eyes. And I hope we own that today, that he loves us, that he cares for us. And when he looks at the crowd, I don't know how, we can't comprehend this, but he looks at us individually. I know that you share this with me, that there's times that you may be sitting there, and you may be listening to the pastor and the sermon, and it's like you're the only one in the room. The Lord is just touching your heart, speaking to the very thing that maybe you've been praying about. Maybe that's going on in your life. He does that. He singles you out. He singles me out, and he speaks to us so intently. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He gives her instructions. He says, listen, you're going to have a son, and this is his name, Jesus. Now, Jesus means salvation. Think about that with me. Jesus means salvation. It's not just his name, it's who he is, it's his character. That is his nature. And there is no better name that could be given. In fact, there's no other name under heaven among men by which we must be saved. Now, at the time, though, Jesus was a very common name. It was a very common name. However, it wasn't going to be common much longer, in the sense that there was a uniqueness here. Something special was going on. Something that had never happened in the history of humankind. And then Gabriel tells Mary what Jesus' life is going to be like. Take a look at verse 32. He says, he will be great. Understated. And he will be called the Son of the Highest, his deity. And the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, kingship. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. He is from everlasting to everlasting. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Awesome. Wow. What good news. This is the child that you're going to bring into the world, Mary. This is who God has chosen you for this. I can't imagine what was going on in her mind and in her heart as she heard these words. But we'll find out that Mary knew the word of God. In her song, she just brings scripture just forth as it's the overflow of her heart and the joy comes out. Scripture comes forth. And listen, prophecy is being fulfilled here. Isaiah 9:6-7 tells us, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. Prophecy was being revealed. God was fulfilling his word. Isn't it something when God fulfills his word in our life? When he gives us a promise and he speaks to us and he says, I'm going to do this in your life. And all of a sudden, you can start to see the beginning of that. And sometimes like, man, could it be? Is it possible that God is fulfilling his promise to me right now? I don't know about you, but there's a little bit of unbelief sometimes in that. But God wants to fulfill his words. He will fulfill his word, his promises in your life, in my life. He's not like man, that man shifts and changes and they give their word there's no solidity to it. There's God's word stands sure and forever. Look at what Mary says then. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" Now this is interesting because unlike Zacharias, Mary wasn't in unbelief. She believed everything that God was saying. Her question was, how will it happen? She believed what the angel was saying. She's like, well, how is this going to happen, being that she was not married and that she was a virgin? It's totally different. Zacharias, he didn't believe God's word. She did. She's asking a question, and Gabriel explains it to her. He says, "And the angel answered to her and said, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God.'" How was it going to happen? Supernaturally, just as Isaiah had prophesied in chapter 7, verse 14, where he said, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," God with us. That's what it means, God with us. And God would walk the earth. The word became flesh. How amazing. Prophecy after prophecy after prophecy being revealed, being fulfilled. I imagine there were so many. Think about this with me. For so many, how long? Since the beginning of Scripture, they were waiting for the Messiah, for the seed, for the Redeemer. It had been so long. And how many would have lost heart? How many would have said, "That's not going to happen again. He's not coming. He's not coming." In fact, there had been 400 years of silence, right? Where God had not spoken through the prophets, and all of a sudden something's happening. Something's moving. There's signs. Sort of like today, that people say, "Oh, it's been a long time. When is it out? When is he going to come? He's not going to come." And then we see things going on around the world. And listen, the believer, those that have a relationship with God, because Mary had a relationship with God, we see it and we're like, "Oh, Lord, I don't know about you, but I get chills thinking about it." I'm like, "Wow, Lord, you're coming back. Everything's being fulfilled. Things that were so impossible before. There was no way. Now everything is being fulfilled just like your word says." I see the beginnings of that. And listen, we are close. We are so close to his return. Man, and I can't wait for that day. What a wonderful and glorious day that will be. We're at the other bookend. Listen, Mary was here at Jesus' birth. We are over here at the other bookend. An incredible time to live, like no other. We're living in a time that, wow, it is a privilege to live in. And I think we're going to see something. This generation is going to be so blessed. And once again, don't misunderstand me. I'm not setting dates. I'm not doing it. The Bible says nobody knows the day or the time. But he does say that when you see the signs, look up, because your redemption draws near. And let me tell you, we need to be looking up, family. We need to be looking up, church. Every day, we get out of bed, man. You look up, say, "Lord, I know you're coming soon." And how should we live our lives knowing that Jesus is coming? How? Listen, I want, when my Lord comes back, I pray he finds me doing his work, that my hands are to the plow and saying, "Lord, I'm just waiting for you, doing the work of the kingdom. Lord, just help me in this." How should we live our lives in the days that we live in? Fully surrender to the Lord. So this event, she said, how is it going to happen? Supernaturally. And the angel said, through the Holy Spirit, by the power of God that would overshadow her. Now, this is interesting here because the word overshadow means to cover with a cloud, but not a dark cloud as we would think, as we see here so often. But the cloud of Shekinah glory from Exodus 16. And also the cloud on the Mount Transfiguration in Matthew 17. This glorious cloud, this shining of the Lord, this power of God. And he says, you're going to be overshadowed. And we don't know when this happens. Possibly right after. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But it must have been incredible. And she would conceive supernaturally. And there was no other way. There's no other way that this could have happened. You see, as Jesus pre-existed, he has always been and always will be. He is a second person of the Trinity, the Son of God and God the Son, and his deity required a supernatural birth. John says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Can you imagine John as he speaks and he looks back and he says, man, the Word of God became flesh. God lived, dwelt with us. Physically, we saw him. We beheld, we touched him. He says in another part, man, how incredible that is. Now, we have the Spirit of God in us. And we have the joy of God in us. And we rejoice. We have such an incredible relationship. But this was special. Well, Gabriel has some more good news. Take a look at verse 36 with me. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Guys, let that wash over you. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Do you see impossibilities in your life? Do you see things that it's like there's no way? Listen, if it's in the will of God, if God has called you to, if God is directing you, it's not impossible. God can do all things. God answers prayers. He does it all the time. And he is holy and he is just. And it's amazing. Nothing is impossible. And notice Mary's response. Verse 38 says, and Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. I love that. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. I love her humility, her simplicity to her answer, just simple faith and trust in God. It says, I believe you, I am God's servant, and let it be done according to his word. I am yours to command, Lord. Is that how we are with our Lord? Is that what we say? Do we say, Lord, I'm here? Or do we say, Lord, I want to serve you, but let me give you a list of don'ts and certain restrictions, and certain things that won't be convenient for me. Listen, she said, I'm yours to command. Let your word be done. Let it be done according to your word. Now, Mary had an incredible honor and blessing. But listen, with it would come great burdens as well. Her obedience would bring her reproach, mocking, and personal danger. And she knew it. She was a young girl. She was engaged, and at that time, that was as good as being married. It was legal. It was binding. And who's going to buy the story? Hey, she's pregnant. Well, who's the father? Is it Joseph? Well, no, it's supernatural. Sure it is. Sure it is. Who's going to buy that? And what did they do back then to someone that committed adultery? They stoned them. Listen, there was difficulties with the calling. There was difficulty with his blessings. Oftentimes we think God's blessing comes and all is well. It's going to be so good. No, it is going to be good. It's going to be amazing. And we see God at work, but it's also going to be difficult. There's going to be hardship. And will you stand? Will I stand and say, no, I'm going to serve the Lord? It's okay if there's, you know, whispers and people just maybe mocking you or I and saying, why would they do this? This is silly. Why do they spend their time in church or sharing, God? Why don't you, they just leave people alone? Why would this person give up their career? Why would this person give up their business, give up their education, just give up everything to go and be a missionary in a third world country? Why? Why would they give up their retirement? This is silly. It's dumb. Don't you see how foolish that is? There are those that would say that. But listen, anything done for God, there is no greater thing than we can do than to serve the Lord. It is amazing, but his calling can sometimes carry some heavy burdens. And it wouldn't make sense in the eyes and in the minds of people. It would be met with unbelief. In fact, you may even remember in John 8, remember what they said to Jesus? They said, "We're not born of fornication." What are they implying? They weren't implying, they were saying it. They're saying, you know what? You don't even know who your father is. She committed adultery. That was the stigma that she would carry. But yet it was such a blessing. When God calls us or directs us into something that seems too incredible or impossible, we can consider what man will say, or we can consider what God has said. Listen, we can worry about what man will say, or we can just say, God has said it, and it's settled, and I will obey. And Mary didn't give any attention to what others would say. She considered what God had said. She was excited about it. And she was excited about the news of Elizabeth as well. Take a look at what she does. Verse 39. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste. Now, think about this with me. Mary, she's a young girl. She's a teenager. She's in Nazareth, not a good area. She has to travel somewhere 60, 70 miles south to Judea to go see her relative. There's belief. She understood. She was going. And faith and belief carries action. There's action behind it. We can say we believe, but if we don't move, do we really believe? Now, it says that she went to the city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to keep in mind who wrote this. Once again, Luke, the doctor, the historian, and he said that he's giving us an accurate account of it. The word here, leaped, you know what it means? It means leaped. He could have said move. He could have said it was, you know, whatever. He said he leaped as a doctor. That's what he said. This child was rejoicing. The baby knew that he was in the presence of his creator, 6 months old. You know what's really tragic? That in our country, there are many six-month-old babies in the womb that are aborted each year. And I read a statistic as I was studying for this that approximately 73 million abortions happen worldwide every year. Let that sink in. 73 million abortions happen worldwide each year. What does that make the Holocaust look like? That's the heart of man. Listen, life starts right at inception. It starts right at the very beginning. And here's this baby, 6 months old, and he leaped in the womb. Nevertheless, notice that Elizabeth, as soon as she heard Mary's voice, that it says that the baby leaped, but she was also filled with the Spirit. She was filled with the Holy Spirit. She was under the influence of the Spirit. And what does she say? Under the influence of the Spirit? Take a look at verse 42. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Mary, oh, how happy are you, blessed are you, and blessed is that baby that is in you. But why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Look at the humility in her. For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Now these words are special. All the Bible's special. Every verse is special. Verse 45. I love those words. How blessed, how happy is a person who believes that God will do what he says. There's such joy in taking God at his word. Listen, these words are special to me. Because God has spoken to me through this verse years ago. And as he does, there's certain verses that God just like, man, he just totally touches our heart in. And for me, that was one of the verses that just, in my devotional time, just, man, it was magnified. And what God was telling me was that he was going to fulfill his promise, what he had said, what he had called me to do. And that was to plant the church. And that was shortly after. Listen, take God at his word. Take God at his word. Believe. And when you believe God, there is joy. You expect God to do it. I love what Pastor Chuck would say. He would say it often. He would say, listen, he says he would wake up every morning believing God, but believing that God wanted to bless him that day, that he had something for him that day. Why? Because God is good. And don't misunderstand me. You know that it's not we don't preach a prosperity gospel here. We preach the gospel of grace and love. And God is the God of love. He is such a good dad, such a good father, and he loves for us. Sometimes we think, oh, he just leaves us to our own, and he's an absentee father. He is not. He is far from it. He cares about every aspect of your life and mine, everything. From the time we wake up, Lord, what am I going to have for breakfast? Lord, where should I go today? Listen, he meets us. And listen to me carefully. Sometimes we're in that place that we say, you know, God hasn't used me. And I would love to be used of God. Or I haven't led somebody to the Lord in a long time. Or maybe I've never led somebody to the Lord. And listen, why is that? Why is that? Well, it's because when God speaks to us, oftentimes we're not obedient. When he says, share the gospel with this person, we're just like, well, I don't think it's a good time. It's not a convenient time. Listen, how about if they reject me? How about this? How about that? Step out in faith. When God speaks to you, do it. Step forward, and you'll see God working in your life. You'll see his word is powerful. There are times that I have just opened up the word of God. He just says, hey, can you just read what it says there? And you see the effect that it has on individuals. It has the same effect on them that it did on us. God's word is supernatural. It changes lives, molds us, it shapes us, it gives life. Mary believed. She believed the word of the Lord given to her by Gabriel, and she believed once again as God confirmed his word through Elizabeth. We need to believe the Lord. And notice, notice what happens next. It doesn't tell us that Mary was filled with the Spirit, but the actions indicate that. There was an overflowing in her heart. There was praise and there was joy. And I want to point this out as well. I don't want us to miss this spiritually, because there's a parallel between Mary, the physical, and the spiritual. You see, Mary was with child. She had Jesus in her. As a Christian, you and I have Jesus living inside of us. Do you see that? He lives. As believers, those that have given their life to the Lord, that have repented of their sins and asked Jesus to come into their life, the Bible says that he dwells in us, in the person of the Holy Spirit. And there's a parallel here with her, and she's full of joy. Do you remember when you received the Lord into your life? When God came and rescued you and gave you life, he forgave you of your sins, there was such joy. For some of us, maybe we wept some uncontrollably. Some were probably just in awe and went away just sort of scratching their head, what happened? Some we may have not felt anything, but then we saw the power of God day by day as we walked with the Lord. And there was a joy that filled our hearts. We started looking at people differently. There was a love of God in us. There was a change in us. That's what happens in the life of a believer. Jesus living in us. Take a look at Mary's song, or really, it's her praise. Verse 46, and we're almost done here. Hang on there with me, guys. Hang in there. Verse 46 says, "And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior.'" Can we say that? Can we say what Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord"? Are we in that place? As believers, we have Jesus in us, and our soul should be magnifying Jesus. Jesus said that, "Let your light so shine," that we are the light of the world. And as believers, our souls should magnify our Jesus. "And my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior." This should be a song in every believer's heart. And why? Why does Mary say this? Look at verse 48. She says, "For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. You looked upon me. I am nobody, Lord. You chose me. I am just a young girl living in a place that nobody's ever heard about. In a bad town, the people roll the windows up when they go by. And yet you chose me. You sought me out. How could that be?" Well, he sought you out. He sought me out. "For he who is mighty has done great things for me. And holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts." And as you go through this, I imagine that Old Testament, the Psalms and Isaiah and prophets and others, I mean, that come to mind, because you see, her heart is full of the Word of God. And as she speaks biblically. She's overflowing with the Spirit. And what happens when we have the Word of God in our hearts and the Spirit of God is overflowing in our hearts and in our lives, we speak biblically because it's him that's coming out. And she says, "He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. He has spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months. I think she was also hiding, staying there, spending the time. And now she has to go back and explain this. But listen, Mary knew the Word of God. She loved God. She had a relationship with God. She was a young woman, a young lady, a teenager. But man, such an incredible walk. And that should be our walk. That should be the Christian's walk. God has so much more for us. So often, there's a shallowness to the Christian walk. And you know, in the Sundays, it's like, okay, we come, sort of get the dose, and then off we go. And listen, I don't want to guilt you here. But what I'm saying is that God has more for you. When you hear the Word of God, take it with you. Own it. Apply it in your life. Be in God's Word. Take it upon you. When those things happen in your life, you know what's going to come out? Praises are going to come out. The Word of God is going to come out in your life. Your life will change. When things, difficulties, situations come, you're going to lean upon the Lord. And listen, when God calls you to serve him in whatever capacity, do whatever, you're going to hear his voice. And because you've spent time with him, you're going to obey. And you're going to see God move in your life. God wants to use every one of us. Every one of us he wants to use in our own special way. God has a plan for you. He has a plan for me. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God has a plan for your life? Wow. Do you guys believe that God has a plan for your life?
Yes.
Yes, okay. That's much better. He does, guys. He loves you. And all we have to do is walk in his plans. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord. You are so good, Lord. And Lord, as we read your word and as we see this incredible events leading up to your birth, how amazing, Lord, prophecy just being fulfilled over and over and over and over again, Lord. Your word will come to pass. And Lord, I just pray in these days that we live in the last days, Lord, in the last hour that, Lord Jesus, that would be those that would seek a deep relationship with you, Lord. That we wouldn't be content with just, Lord, a distant relationship. That, Lord, we desire to just walk fully serving you, doing kingdom work in our lives. Lord, that it would truly be, our hearts would truly be like Mary's, that, Lord, our souls would magnify you and that we would rejoice in the Lord our Savior. So we thank you, we praise you, in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.